at about afternoon and evening. So we practically start the initiation right after the puja. And so Mr. Bhagavatam class will have that class of initiation tomorrow. And then let us take out the or should we start the program after breakfast? Ramananda, what's your take on that? Or should we try to finish it by 10 o'clock? Then we'll be able to finish it by 10. But 8 to 8:30 can be the class. And yeah, okay. Is our next little breakfast at 10 o'clock tomorrow? The other idea is you can have breakfast at 8 o'clock by the time and then go into initiation. What do you think? Whatever. Do you know what you think? Breakfast at 10? So we just have the initiation. What if it goes on Tuesday and Thursday? That's what I was actually considering. Like if it takes longer. I mean, initiation lecture came up, we go until about 8:45. And then there are about 40 candidates for first initiation. So even if we take, each one takes 1 minute, so it's 40 minutes. So let's say it's 1 hour. And fire sacrifice, half an hour.
So yeah,
10:15, then we can finish. How many of you are leaving tomorrow morning? Is anyone leaving tomorrow morning? Okay. How many of you are leaving in the morning? What time? 9:30. Then you can take breakfast down here. Right, since you have to leave, you can take your breakfast. Anyway, those who are living early can take breakfast early. Or else, what about this idea? Breakfast at 8 o'clock, initiation starts at 9. You mind? How many of you guys will have breakfast at 8 o'clock? Okay, once again. How many of you would like to have breakfast at 8 o'clock? How many of you would like to have your breakfast at 9 o'clock? And how many of you would not like to have any breakfast at all? Okay then, breakfast at 8. Initiation starts at 9.
And then we can see.
As it goes on. Okay, and about the reciting the English translation, let's have the in-house with language. Just make about 140 words.
Not 150 words.
How many of you already know the translation? Local recordings. Okay, so we need it. So, yesterday we considered the chapter 20 and chapter 23. So, I'll read the summary. The process of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are explained in this chapter. In terms of the presence of different good and bad qualities in particular candidates. The Vedic Shastras are words expressing the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these Vedic literatures, the common and outer of duality based on such concepts of the biological system, and at the same time Vedas reject the dualistic visions. Uddhava desires to understand the reason why the scriptures contain such conflicting ideas and how these might be reconciled, inquired from Lord Sri Krishna about this matter. In response, the Supreme Lord replied that the Vedas describe the processes of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga for facilitating the attainment of liberation. Karma Yoga is designed for those persons who are not detached and who are full of gross desires. Jnana Yoga is for those who are detached from the fruits of activity and have given up material desires. And Bhakti Yoga is for those persons who have taken to the principles of Yukta Vaidyatya. Appropriate renunciation. As long as one has not become uninterested in enjoying the fruits of one's work, or as long as one stays in the topics of discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the path of devotional service, has not awakened, then one must continue to fulfill all the prescribed duties of his karma. But neither the renunciant nor the devotee of the Supreme Lord needs to carry out ritualistic duties. Persons who follow their own duties, who abandon that which is forbidden, and who are free from the greed and other unhealthy characteristics, attain either monistic knowledge or else, if they are fortunate, devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, maybe at this point we can discuss.
No.
The very wonderful point Krishna is making. To begin with, this chapter is actually describing the process of Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and leading to Bhakti and establishing the supremacy of consciousness. And Uddhava actually saw a duality in the Vedic instructions. That Uddhava's consideration was why the scriptures contain conflicting ideas as the outlook sometimes displays some duality based on the concept of varnashram, and at the same time Veda reject the duality, accepts the duality and rejects the duality. So why is that? So, answering that, Krishna in simple words is pointing out that karma yoga is actually meant for those who are attached to sense gratification. There will be people who are attached to sense gratification, no matter how much you tell them, don't become attached, they will be able to, because their very basic tendency is to attach. Their tendency is to enjoy. So the Vedas is not forcing anyone to unnaturally access. Vedas are actually gradually preparing one to transcend from one platform to another. Like when describing about Tantra aspect of the Vedas, like the other day I just mentioned, the Tantra has various types of activity. Like there is one type of activities are known as animalistic rituals. Animalistic.
Yes, some people are like animals.
But through this process, they are not promoting their animalistic propensity, but helping them to overcome this animalistic propensity. Like this is the purpose of the yogic injunction. Let them go through it, but then transcend. Because otherwise, if they try to avoid it, unnaturally, abnormal, then it won't work, because this tendency will come back somewhere. If the desires are there in the heart, no matter how much you try to suppress that, at some time it will come back. Like we have seen so many times, some individuals take sannyas prematurely. And then what happens? After taking sannyas, the fall. That means the desire to enjoy, they are not prepared to renounce. And because the desire was there, it just came back. So they are the same. Go through that. I mean, lead them to the, take them to that process, and then bring them to the point of renunciation. So jnana is actually leading to renunciation. Karma is leading to enjoyment. But through that, but how to enjoy? That prescribed. So because they are following the process in a prescribed way, they are going to become free from that effort and come to the platform. Eventually, come to the platform of jnana. And jnana will lead to. But transcending the platform of both karma and jnana is pure purity. Here also we have to understand what is karma and karma yoga and jnana yoga. Karma with devotion is karma yoga. Not any karma is karma yoga. Karma with devotion is karma yoga. Jnana with devotion is jnana. And when the devotionlessness prevails, becoming free from the tendency of karma and jnana, that is the devotion. And in pure devotional service, for all to think about pure devotional service, there is no need to go through the experience. There is no need to enjoy. Those who are attached to enjoyment, devotional services provide that enjoyment. Automatically, like people like to eat Krishna Krishna. People like to do various activities, do it as service of Krishna. So action is karma, inaction is jnana. But this action, when rendered for Krishna, it is karma. It is just pure emotion. Action purely for the sake of Krishna's emotion. And that means purifying. Pure emotional service, that's what Krishna pointed out, that even when it is unqualified, even if one falls down in the spiritual practice, while you render the emotional service, it don't matter. Because he can't. Because he has a very solid shelter. Like shelter in a sense, even if one falls down, Krishna's hands are there devote his hands and head to pick him up and help him to go. So that's why devotional service and desire for liberation can be compared with this. The endeavor for devotion, desire for liberation is a singular endeavor, independent endeavor. No sum endeavor. It's like climbing a mountain alone. When you're trying to climb a mountain alone, and if you have an accident, finished. But devotional service is something like climbing the mountain with a group of other mountaineers. So when you're climbing the mountain with a group of other mountaineers, and if you fall, if you have some accident, they will carry you. First they will carry you to safety, where you get the treatment, you get cured, and then you start climbing. So that is the advantage of devotion, which is exhibited in the association of devotees. And on top of everything, in devotional service, Krishna is there. Even if you have an accident, Krishna will be there. And in a way to see that Krishna is helping through the devotees. So that is the unique benefit of devotion. Even if one has difficulties, it doesn't matter. He will overcome that because he is an association of devotees. Whereas in Jnana, that opportunity is not there. It's a lonesome journey. All by myself. If someone is very powerful, then probably he can succeed. But most of the time, they have difficulties. Persons who follow their own duty, who abandon that which is forbidden, and who are free from greed and other unhealthy characteristics, attain other monistic knowledge, or else, if they're fortunate, devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. So, those who are practicing the Jnana, Jnana Karma section of those who are in the platform of Jnana Yoga, they have two ways of opening. One is, they're trying to reject the forbidden or undesirable activities through the monistic knowledge. Or the other possibility is, if they're fortunate, the Jnana will lead them to the point of devotion. But again, what creates that good fortune? That good fortune is created by the devotees of the Lord. It is because of the association they came to understand the actual benefit of being engaged in devotion. Until the mind is finally becomes stable, one should continue to meditate about the process of the creation of material things in sequence from subtle to gross and of their destruction in reverse sequence of gross to subtle. One who has a sense of detachment and renunciation can give up all identification with the body and other sense objects by constantly studying the instructions of the spiritual mind. That is the bottom line. Being guided by the spiritual master and following the instructions of the spiritual master one actually becomes, actually is able to succeed in this matter. Only one on one's own is very difficult to succeed in this matter. Spiritual life begins, spiritual life begins with accepting one of the spirituals. That is seen in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada very clearly explained that, or clarified that. That Arjuna gave so many reasons, so many things. Krishna was contesting. Krishna was not there. No, 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 that's not right. Arjuna was speaking. This will happen, that will happen, if we kill the end of the society. And, you know, like, the whole society will be doomed as a result of this battle. Krishna will say. But the moment Arjuna said, Shishya Senam Shati Mahaprabhu, the moment Arjuna said that I am surrendering myself to you as your disciple, so please enlighten me, please dispel my doubt. They know the Krishna status. So the spiritual master will impart the knowledge to a deserving candidate. And what makes one deserving is submissive attitude. Sometimes we see devotees, some individuals, I would call devotees, because devotees are free from that characteristic. Some individuals already take initiation, but they are not prepared to listen to the spiritual. So that initiation is only an external show. And sometimes we even see that some disciples want to even instruct the spiritual. Why did you do that? You should have done that. It happens very often. Then what is the spiritual doing? It's okay. If you're that wise, then go find your own way. I'm not going to take you this. The spiritual master will instruct only the deserving candidate, and we need to listen. That's why the instruction in Bhagavad Gita is Sattvishi Pranipatina Parikrishna Shiva. Pranipatina, the first qualification is surrender. Approach is a submissive attitude. So that is the important consideration in the spiritual life that Krishna is pointing out time and time. That one must accept the spiritual master and then only it will, the spiritual path will open. So in this way, anyway, Krishna ends this chapter. And then I went to the chapter 23. I briefly go through that and I open up the question after that. That chapter 23 is the anecdote of the Avanti Brahman. Or in simple words, you can say Uchaya. Because Avanti is Uchaya. In Avanti, this city is actually very, very old. This city came about practically at the time of creation. To consider the history of this city, how the development took place. Do you remember at the beginning, the demons, the demigods were charming the ocean, milk ocean, to get the nectar. And when the name Anandari came up with the nature and went to over, then they started to fight among themselves. Anandari probably gave it to the demigods. But the demons said, no, we will have it. So they grabbed the pot and they started to struggle will happen. And in that struggle, a few drops of nectar fell on this earth planet. Like four drops fell from four different four drops fell at four different places. And from that time onward, the Kumbh Mela started. On that occasion, people come here to the airport. And those four places are Prayag, Haridwar, Nasik, so that means from that time this thinking actually was existing. Right from the time of the beginning of creation. So it is not a city that they have developed just some years ago. Anyway, in the city of Ujjain or Avanti, there was a Brahmana who was a merchant, who was involved in business. And he was very, very wealthy. Although he was very wealthy, but he was also very mighty. Only in those days we used to come across bracket of Bible. I don't think there are, people are not that mindful nowadays. Today's world is the world of consumerism. The culture is consumer. That is the thing. And people also don't store their fuel. They keep it in a bank. Previous was to keep them. So this is how the attachment was there. But nowadays, kind of considerably the attachment has been taken away. Rather, people are into spending money, not saving money. But in the past, the tendency was to save children, especially rich people, some rich people. So, this Avanti Brahmana was very wealthy, at the same time very mindful. You are so mindful that you allow these family members to have proper food. Like, why do you need subsidy? Why do you need dal? Rice is there and salt is there. Just be happy with that. At least, after all, it's just a matter of getting the stomach. And if it's still empty, then fill it up with water. That was the attitude of the person. And not only he would allow his family members to have the very basic requirements fulfilled, but he for himself also he would not. But unfortunately, at one point, he started to lose money and he lost everything. And when he lost everything, then his family members, even including his brother, his family members, friends, relatives, now they just wanted to take him back with his own coin. So when he himself did not have anything, they just also did not want to offer him. That attitude of, what did you do for us that we came for you? Get lost. You fed for yourself. That's how we treated us. When you were dependent upon you, you did not even give us a bare minimum. So why do you expect a good treatment from us now? So in this way, even a family member, a friend, a relative started to treat him in a very harsh way. So this Samadhi Brahmana became very hurt. And in this sad state of mind, he felt, now what's the point of living in this world with this family, with this surrounding? They don't care for me. So why should I stay here? So after the governor left home and took sannyas. And even when he took sannyas and he was traveling, taking the vow of silence, people started to take advantage of his situation. They started to thinking that he is just an ordinary madman. They started to mistreat him in very, very unpleasant ways. And in this way, the proper realization dawned in our people that after all, whatever is happening in this material nature is a reaction of God. I treated badly, therefore they treated me the same. And I had acquired all the bad karmas for myself. Therefore I'm getting the results of my karma. People are not here to treat me bad. It's only I who is getting the reactions of my own bad karma. They're simply the medium through which the karmic reaction is coming back to me. So this is the real wisdom. And this is how a saintly person should consider when he is treated badly, then my karma is coming back to me. At the same time, he also should see that through this bad treatment, there is some lesson to learn. Krishna wants me to learn from them. Anyway, so then understanding these realities, the Avanti Brahmana, the Sannyasin, who is the Sannyasin, he started singing a song, which was actually explaining all these points. It's a beautiful prayer. You all remember yesterday we recited the Sanskrit verses together, which ends with the verse, Etamsa astaya paratma nishtam adhyasitam purvatamai maharshi aham parishyam duranta param samvaram samvaram kriyashi. Etamsa astaya paratma nishtam. Paratma nishtam means being fixed in the superstore. Have you crossed this dangerous, insurmountable ocean, material nature of darkness, throughout the body, by taking shelter of Namo Mukundamudi Nisheva Yoga, by rendering unavoidable devotional service to the lotus feet. Following the footsteps of Purvatamayi Maharshi, the exalted personality, the exalted devotees of the past. So first of all, This process is nothing new. This process has been practiced by the previous ashram. The following day, which steps I do. Overcome this ocean of material nature. I'll get across the ocean of material by taking shelter of Mukunda's lotus feet. So, from this what we learn? That when difficulties come, we should learn this. Enjoyment in the material nature is not actually beneficial for us, it's actually detrimental. Enjoyment in material nature is not really beneficial. Because the enjoyment of happiness, good situation in material nature keeps us. Therefore, it is better to suffer. It is better to be mistreated by others instead of being treated nicely in a very wonderful pattern situation. And then with what will happen? It will be difficult to cut the bondage. The tendency will be to think, oh, everything is so wonderful. How can I need it? Therefore, it is better that everything becomes unbearable. Then we will think, who wants to be in this situation? Let us cut all my attachments. And the best way to find perfection in our endeavors is by taking shelter of Krishna. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, both in the mundane and the given by.
Krishna, thank you very much for giving us. So what I said in the Surashadara, in Bhagavad Gita, what was said, Manushyam Svartas, on which the first who gives the humility that you know that Krishna is there, devotees are there. So how we can interrelate with Krishna said, Manushyam, very good, I can be from this time.
Yeah. So the path of devotional service, the spiritual path, is like sharp as a razor's edge. So can you imagine walking on razor's edge? First of all, how thin is it, but how thick is the razor's edge? How broad, how wide is the razor's edge? It's very, very painful shot. Like a little mistake you cut. Now, as you were saying, that Manushyam tries to issue. So, yeah, it is Manushyam tries to issue, out of thousands and thousands of people, not only thousands, millions and millions, when you go into that. Out of millions and millions of people, rarely one master the art of walking on the ground. Not that everybody can do. And the thing is that mastering the art is so wonderful that when you know how to walk on that path, that what appears otherwise to be a little age, like little age, becomes a national thing. Dr. Walter wrote, she wants it. Yes. If you try to shape the path without having proper guidance, Because to learn something you need to have the how to walk on that little stage, you have to have the proper guidance. But when you have the proper guidance and then you master the art of walking on the little stage, then you see that it's not little stage. It's a broad, beautiful path with trees on both sides. Fruit bearing and flower bearing trees on both sides of the road. It's an avenue. There's wells of nectar. So that is the path. But very rarely one needs to understand. Hear us? Okay, here's the mic.
Please,
okay, then.
Like you mentioned, Tumulaya. So, how the Tumulaya is important to us, for devotee, can the one should attend Tumulaya? Tumulaya.
Kumbhakarna. Oh, sorry. This is a comment. There's so much. There is a sitting on this side. Kumbhakarna. What about Kumbhakarna?
So devotees should attend Kumbhakarna or if devotees should attend in Bhattu, they are attending.
No.
What else? In 2016, the Kumbhakarna has happened in our city. So, what should one do for attending there?
Why should?
What should be our mood to attending this Kumbhakarna?
Our mood should be, no, so many people are coming here, so let's go on the preach.
So that we are not attached to the material.
Yeah.
So why Krishna did design the world which is such a way that it is so hedged?
Okay, good. It is better. But the best is to listen to somebody who knows so. Right? That's the best. Best is to listen to somebody. And that's the best. If that happens, then you don't have to suffer. You automatically become situated. Right? Okay, in this respect we can give an example. See, different people learn in different ways. Some people learn just a year from a one of us. Some people learn by speaking. And some people learn by going through it. So out of these two, which is the best? By hearing. When you hear the greater knowledge, yes, that's the best. But if it doesn't happen, if we don't have the faith in the person when he's telling and don't listen to him and that seriously, then okay. By seeing, you learn. But those who don't even learn by seeing, they have to go to the experience themselves. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru
Maharaj. I have two questions.
First, there is a word which came in Luke there are because first time it's familiar. Can you please tell us, you know, what is Luke there are and how can we imagine it in our mind?
The definition of Luke there are has been given by Srila Rupa Goswami as Anasastra Sri Vishana Jatharvam Pujanjara Nirvandha Krishna Sambandhi Yuktam Vishnu. Being Anasastra with the mood of attachment of being detached from Vishayana, the object of
Jakarta Mukunita. Take whatever is necessary
in relation to Krishna. Krishna Samadhi in relation to Krishna. Like for example, Vishaya. Okay, in order to understand it properly, there is another consideration. What is Kalpavaya? Prapochika Payabuddha. Parisampanti Vasuna. Mumukshuhi Parityayo. Without Kalpavaya. Prapochika means considering the material. Prapochika Payabuddha. Parisampanti Vasuna. The vastu, the object, that is in relation to Hari, that is in relation to Hari, that is the object that could have been engaged in serving Hari. This was Prapanchika Kaya Bhutta Hari Samadhi Vastu Na. Mumukshu is what is that. Mumukshu means desiring to attain liberation. Or he said, and desires to become detached in order to attain liberation, he rejects that. That is called falseness. You see the difference? The main consideration is to serve Hari. For the sake of serving Hari, we should accept whatever it is. But with the mood of anashastrisha, with the mood of
Guru Maharaj, the second question is that you spoke so much about being under the shelter of a spiritual master. And in the second summary, you see that our teacher Brahma, he got all meditation all by himself in meditation.
That is not true. If that good spiritual master may not have been mentioned, but he must have the spiritual master. Otherwise, how can he say something? To say things are not.
It was not his own realization. You know, so it's not in the
scriptures. Yes, no, he took initiation. But in course he got the realization. Going to the extreme. You know, a shining meditation. So,
Hare Krishna.
I can hear better this way.
Although it's called three dandara, but actually there is chatur dandara, four dandara. One dandara is spirit soul. Three dandara are body, mind, and words. They are symbolic to body, mind, and words. Meaning body, mind, and words are in the surface of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme God is there as a witness. Okay? Ojashri?
Hare Krishna Kumar. Can you explain about the chanting of the body element?
Chanting of what?
Body element.
Okay.
Without offensive sudaram, and how can one achieve?
Okay, to answer that, I'll ask you, what is the 10 offenses? Yes, you know the 10 offenses. What's the 7th offense? What's the 2nd offense? state of the mind.
Buddha, the leaders, as the same leaders, it's not simple to make
up a don't dictate. I didn't ask you. So this is the problem. You should know what are the 10 offenses and guard yourself against the 10 offenses. They know you will be able to stand. So today, memorize the scale. Alright? I'll ask you again. You have 10 hours.
Okay. As you told us that better to suffer is reliant on Krishna. So, if you can one try to overcome from the three types of disease in one suffering. So at what extent the suffering is right to overcome these diseases, Adi Mantika and Jai from that. So how much internal issue to come from one day? Why is it remain suffering or
when one thinks to devotional service goes suffering automatically. Like Bhagavatam is actually mentioned. Tritapam Mulana. Tritap means four and three kinds of nature. Unmulana. When one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus, that's three. Four in general is automatically. So, okay, and let me just answer other question. So this one is Sridhar Mohan Das, Pune, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. How to not get affected by misery and how we can concentrate on our devotional service? Again, the same answer. How not to get affected by misery? The best way of not getting affected by the misery is to uproot the misery. If the miseries are not put there, then there is no question of getting affected by misery. And the way to uproot the miseries is by surrender to Krishna, coming before Krishna. And how to concentrate on our devotional service. Continue to practice devotional service, but eventually when we get peace, the concentration is automatic. Rohit from Kolkata. Rohit from Kolkata, Hare Krishna Maharaj Temple. Is it true that gold is considered to be like yellow? My God. He used a very any years too. He can use the words too. Anyway, Rohit, try to be a little polite about your expression. If yes, then please can you give me where it is going to stay? Gold is not true. Gold is one of the most pure things. And that's why when Hiranyaksha took the gold away, earth lost its balance and fell into the middle. But the gold is produced out of the seed and all. The gold is actually the outcome of Lord Shiva's sin. I don't know where you got it from. That, can you give me where that it has been saying? I'm not saying, you are saying, so you tell the way. If we wear Krishna pendant with gold chain, is it okay? Yes, you can, if you can afford it, it's okay. Thank you. So, another question from Vinod Kumar from Dubai. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank God. How can I identify 400,000 human beings? Keep counting. Thank you.
difficult to identify him because he then pointed out that this is not from external features, because all human beings happen to look alike. All human beings look alike. So this piece is like, say for example, the animal pieces, different types of animals, different types of insects, different types of reptiles. You can see different types. But human beings practically all look alike. It is only a matter of mental links. It's a matter of consciousness.
Maybe all the universe capable of being for
that. Like the universe generally are on Earth planet. Human beings are on Earth planet. Earth planet is made for human beings. In Sun planet there are not human beings. In Sun planet there are demigods. In upper planetary system, there are demigods. In lower planetary system, there are different other beings. Okay, I will end now so that I can talk. Thank you very much. Go take the first. Go take the first.
Yes.